Let's try 212. Let's try it in G, maybe. I believe God. I believe God. It should be done. Even as he say, trust and obey. You can say, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. It shall be done. Even as he said, trust and obey. Look up and say, I believe God. Oh, yes, I believe God. It shall be done. Even as he said, trust and obey. Look up and say, I believe God. Oh, I believe God, it shall be done. Even as he said, trust and obey. Look up and say, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. It shall be done. Even as he said, trust and obey. Look up and say, I believe God. Amen. Let's try 146. 146. That's E flat. Alas, indeed, my Savior bleed, and did my soul bring down. Would he devote a sacred head for such a way as I? Hey, the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I face all the light and the burden of my run away. It was there my faith, I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Oh, yes, once the times that I lived back, he grew now on the tree. Amazing be great. Sun known and love beyond the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I face so, and the burden of my heart blown away. It was there by faith. I receive my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, yes, well, my the sun in darkness, I shall give glory thee. Oh, in Christ the mighty man, oh, my the creature, oh, the cross, at the cross, where I face,
Oh, and I bet you know my heart rolled away, rolled away. It was there. Oh, saved my sight. And now I am happy. Oh, that he is but drops of cream came repay the debt of my yeah, Lord, I give myself away. Is so not into the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I face so the luck and the bearings of my heart run away, run away. It was there. Hallelujah. Save my sight. And now I am happy. Oh, the cross, at the cross, where I face. Oh, and the burden of my heart run away, run away. It was there. I faith, I receive my sight. And now I am happy all the way.
Amen. 27. It's an Tempted and tried, we oft made to wonder why it should be thus all our day long, while they are living about us. Nevermore lay this day go in the road, for when I'm alone with all about. Oh yes, when I'm alone, be honest and wise. Cheer up, my brother, living the sunshine. We'll understand the need of our environment. When death is coming, taking our loved one. It is so lonely and dreary. Then do we wonder why others prosper? Oh, living so weak year after year. Oh yes, we are alone with no lullaby. Yes, we are alone with and one. Oh, cheer up, my brother, while living the sun. We'll understand thee, oh, by and by. Yes, faithful till death, say our loving mass. Oh, yes, a few more days to live our own way. Those of the road
Den sie mes na. Oh yes, we swim through the beautiful gate. Oh, oh, we know about. Oh yes, we and just in one. Oh, my brother, who is living us up and shine, who will understand it? Oh, yes. Oh, when we see Jesus, oh, yes, when he comes from me, he's forming a star. Oh, yes, then we shall meet him, oh, in that bright mansion. Yes, we'll understand it, oh, all by and by. Alone we'll know about. We understand why. Cheer up, my brother, living the sunshine. We'll understand. Be all by and by.
Let's sing 24 on the same page, E flat. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow, sunshine, or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worries fade. Oh, I'm living my faith. Oh, yes, in Jesus I'm trusting, confiding in his great love. Oh, more I'm safe in his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and fear no alarm. Although tempests may blow and storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed in the overcast skies. The Master looks on the strife. Oh, I'm living by faith. Oh, in Jesus, trusting, confiding in his great love. Say, in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and fear no alarm. Oh, I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Oh, I'm living by faith.
In Jesus' name, trusting, confiding in His great love. Oh, for mercy in His sheltering. I'm living my faith and fear no alarm. Oh, our Lord, who return to this perfect day, our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away before that blessed heavenly shore. Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus' name, trusting God in great love. Oh,
amen. Very appropriate songs. Thanks, brother. It was a blessing. It's wonderful to sing about faith. Tonight, I wanted to look at that thought of living your life according to the divine timetable. The faith timetable. That's what you want to do. So God bless you, saints. Welcome. Good to have everybody out this evening. May the Lord bless each one. Those who aren't managed to be here, may the Lord bless you at home. God bless you, saints online. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews 11. Your phone is doing this. That's okay. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 11 and 12. Through faith, also Sarah herself received seed, but strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang they even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Let's also open the book of Habakkuk. Chapter 2. Verse 3 and 4. Habakkuk 2, 3 and 4. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie.
Amen.
Though it tarry, wait for it, because it'll surely come, it'll not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
Amen.
May the Lord bless his word. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to us, break unto us the bread of life. Jesus, make yourself known in the breaking of bread. Speak unto our souls, strengthen our faith. Father, bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's be seated. So we're looking at this thought. Don't have too many slides here because we want to just get into a topic. But we are looking at faith. Our thought is we're operating by the faith timetable. So we're still looking at God's mind on marriage. It might not look like it, but this is one of the big issues, obviously, that comes up as we're speaking about any of God's promises in our lives, is that God has his timetable. You know, and his timetable, like he says, when his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways, his timetable doesn't generally match the norms of timetables. Now, this human timetable, the way that things should operate in the lives of people, the norms of society, how you should live your life, when you should do certain things. Yeah, that's fine, those things, those norms. But
you find that God generally operates outside of those norms. And that's why, as a believer, we need to walk by faith. If you go back to Hebrews 11, when it speaks about Sarah, because she gives us a real good example, Hebrews 11, verse 11, it speaks about, though through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. She was past age and she delivered a child. So, why was she past age? What governed the age that she had to deliver a child? Was the norms. Now, the norms of a woman is she's going to deliver a child before menopause. I mean, that's just the way things are done. But it's an amazing thing that God is not governed by the norms of the human timetable. He said she's going to deliver 40 years after menopause. Now, that's why it's a faith walk. And the Lord had to minister her to that place because Sarah, for a big portion of her life, she lived life according to the human timetable. Now, her life, she was governed by sight and time. The prophet says that God's two greatest enemies are sight and time. That's the enemies of faith because, you're going to be looking at the calendar and you're going to be running your life according to the norms that things should be run. And the Lord's just saying, look, I don't pay any attention to the human calendar. God has his divine calendar that he operates the lives of his people by. And these two things are in conflict many, many times. And Sarah was doing that. She kept going to the mirror and she's looking, and then she saw the creases, the crow's feet, whatever they called it. Then she'd go, she'd see the gray hair coming on. Then she'd go back to the mirror and she'd have a look and she'd see her back stooping over. And she started to look and she started to see that the natural resources started to dry up inside of herself. And her faith, her expectation was governed by those things. Now she would go and look on the calendar all the time and say, but wow, me, I'm getting almost 40 years old now. If I'm ever going to have children, I better have children quickly. Because that's just the way we brought up. That's the norms of operating according to the human calendar. And we have to run according to that in this life to a measure. But then it got to the stage now where she got to 50. Now, menopause is normally 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, around there these days. And then she got beyond that. Now she got up to 60. And she's looking at the calendar. She's looking at sight and time. She's looking at the changes in her body. And she's saying, well, I missed my opportunity. If ever I was going to have a child, the opportunity's passed me by. Because that's what it means. When it says, because it says she was delivered of a child when she was past age. That means beyond the proper time of life. This word kairos, past age, means not so much a succession of minutes, but the period of opportunity. So to her, it looked like her period of opportunity had passed her by. Because anybody else she ever knew, the natural people governed by the natural realm of life, that there was a normal period of opportunity. If ever you were going to have a child, you would have to do it within that period of opportunity. And it seemed it had, and it had, naturally speaking, it had passed her by. And she lived according to that. And that is where she made her greatest mistake, is because now she started to make her decisions because she started to feel the pressure of the natural timetable. And that's when she said, okay, we need to find another way because, hey, according to the timetable, my opportunity has passed me by. Let's find a solution. Let's manufacture our own solution here. Let's get Hagar. You go to Hagar, I'll adopt her, the child as mine. And that's the way God's going to answer his promise. You see, she was operating according to that timetable until the Lord came down in Genesis 17 and 18. Genesis 17, he came and he gave Sarah part of his name and changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. No, so something took place in Genesis 18. The Lord came and spoke personally to her, discerned her, and said, why did Sarah laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. And the very presence of the Logos himself spoke to her soul, and something happened inside of her. And the Lord says, I will visit you at the time of life.
Amen.
I'm going to visit you. And then for the first time now, she tuned in to that divine frequency. And she started looking at the divine timetable. And she started to realize that the divine timetable, the faith timetable, is very different than our timetable. Now, they don't correspond one with another. You know, if she was ever going to have a child, it was back here on the calendar. Those pages had long been torn off the calendar. They changed the calendar many, many years in a row. And then the Lord's time came. Then the Lord now turned over the page and said, now's my appointed time. And now she had the faith because the Bible says she judged him faithful who had promised. And now she wasn't governed by sight and time. One thing faith needs. What is the one thing faith needs? If you go down to W5 in Belfast, if anyone's ever been there, you know, it's a nice place. We went with the children the other day. It's who, what, why, when, where. You know, it's like a discovery sort of a place. There's all those questions that are always asked. Faith doesn't need to understand where the Lord is leading it. The Lord spoke to Abraham and said, go to a place that I'll show you. And he was walking by faith, so he didn't mind where. He knew as long as God's in the program, he knows where I'm going. He knows the way that I should take. So faith isn't governed by that particular question of where. Faith isn't governed and doesn't need to understand why. When the Lord spoke and spoke to you about many things inside of your life, you could have short-circuited the program of God by asking why. Why do I have to do that now? Why? No, you don't ask why. Faith doesn't ask why. Faith doesn't look for explanations. Faith just needs a revelation. Once something's revealed to you inside of your soul, there's a certain sound. It's a substance. It's an assurance. You know, I don't understand why, but he's never been wrong before. So things are going to work out very, very well. Faith doesn't need to understand when. Faith doesn't need to know when. If the Lord gives you a promise like he did to Abraham, the Lord didn't have to come and say to him, Abraham, I'm going to tell you when it's going to be. The Bible says that Abraham staggered not with unbelief. He never staggered, but you know, but he also counted God faithful. You know, I don't know when. Now, if I'm looking on my timetable, because Abraham was even older, he was coming up to 100 years old. He was 99 when he had his firstborn son. Now, how many people have you ever met before who ever had a child at the age of 99? You know, so it's a different kind of a timetable. And that's where the pressure comes on us. It comes on us in the natural sense, and it comes on us in the natural sense, particularly with marriage. And more so, it comes to women, to men. I remember people used to say a lot of things to me, because according to the natural timetable, if you're not married in your 20s at some stage, now it's getting a little bit further now. You know, the things are pushing on because of people's love for money in this age, well into the 30s before people often get married. But the moment it gets beyond 25, 30, now what's wrong with you? Why aren't you married? No, that's the expectation of the world. That's the norm. You know, and we've got to be careful as believers. We don't run our lives according to the norms of society, because the norms of society are not normal anymore. They're very abnormal, a lot of these norms of society. But the pressure comes from well-meaning people upon us because our life is not working according to the norms that people are used to. I wrote it down in the morning. I didn't bring the notes here, but I went to look to say, have a look in the Bible just to show what age were people when they got married. Isaac was how old? He was almost 40 years old when he got married. That's not normal. But that was faith's timetable. That was God's appointed time. How old was Moses when he got married? He's well in his 40s. He met the burning bush when he was 40. Now he has 40 years in Egypt. And then after that, he married and then he had his children. How old was he when he had his children? How old was Abraham when he had his son? 99 years old. You know, so you can see that God is not interested in the human calendar. And if you really, really want to keep a lot of stress from your life, never regulate your life by the human calendar. I learned that early as a believer. I just saw in my life, I just saw, Lord, you're running things according to your calendar, because hey, this doesn't match the norms of the human calendar, the way that things are going. God knows the right kind of a time. Faith doesn't ask when. I went and looked. The norms of society is people, it's if you don't marry, you're weird. You know, or there's something wrong with you. But go back and look. Paul wasn't married. Go look, Elijah wasn't married. Jeremiah never married. Go look through your Bible. You'll find Daniel probably never married. You never hear anything about Daniel and his family and his children. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were under the chief of the eunuchs. They probably never married either. You know, some of these great people of the faith never married. Do you know what age John Wesley married? 48 years old. That's when he married. Yeah. And he regretted the fact he shouldn't have married. His friends all told him not to marry. He never got on well with the woman anyhow, you know, because he had a different calling upon his life. Yeah, and so there's this norm of society, and we feel pressured to conform to this norm. Whereas faith doesn't feel pressured to conform to any norm, because God doesn't work according to the norms of society. God's ways are the right ways, and his time is the right time. But most of the time, God's time, his timetable stretches well beyond the human timetable. That's the way the Lord likes to do things. Yeah, it does. You have a look in the lives of so many people. Go and have a look in your Bible. Do you know that Irenaeus never married? No. Martin Luther married well in his 40s. You go and just sort of so many people of the faith, so many people that left footprints in the sands of time and walked with God in the age and generation. They never walked. John Wycliffe, the man who translated the Bible, he never married. I was having a look today on the internet. Which people favor? There's so many of them who never married, but there's this norm in society that you've got to get married or there's something wrong with you. Paul says, I was going to speak on it tonight on 1 Corinthians 7, when Paul goes and says, I wish all of you were like me. He says, you can serve the Lord a lot better if you don't get married. He says, because if you're single, you've got one focus, that's to serve the Lord. He says, but when you're married, you've got to please your wife. You've got to look after your family. You've got a lot of things pulling you this way and that. You've got a lot more care and a lot more anxiety. But just with the way that society is, we feel so pressured by society to match the norms of society. That's why we need a faith walk. Because faith is independent of sight and time. And faith doesn't worry about what other people think. Faith doesn't worry, like I said, doesn't worry about where, it doesn't worry about why, it doesn't worry about when. The only thing faith worries about is who. As long as the Lord is in the program, as long as the Lord is in your life, you can leave the how, you can leave the where, you can leave the when, you can leave the why in his hands. Faith is satisfied. Faith is a substance. It's an assurance inside of yourself that he knows what he's doing. But the prophet actually says that, I'll quote it from the Message Demonology. He says, now there's where sight and time is God's worst enemy in divine healing. Sight and time, that's the enemy, because sight and time, they want to operate according to norms. They want empirical measures that they operate within. Yeah, but the Lord said, hey, God operates completely outside of this realm. Yeah, faith, God's timetable. God dwells in a realm where there's no calendar. There's no calendar beyond the curtain of time. The prophet went there, he says, there was no yesterday, there's no tomorrow. It's only now. It's present tense, he says. He says, why? Because it's governed by the I am. He's always the I am. The prophet says, when God spoke the heavens, he said it might have been billions of years ago. He says, but God hasn't moved 1 minute since then, because he's not in time. He dwells in the eternal realm. So God's timetable is not governed by calendars, because there's no calendars up there. You're not going to get up there and need to use your watch. There's going to be no watches there. It's always now. It's always he, I am, and things are just under control, you know? And that is what faith is. Faith is not governed by calendars either. Faith doesn't need to look at a watch. You know, faith doesn't need evidences of things. Faith has its own evidence. It's satisfied as long as the Lord is in the program. If God has revealed something to you, if there's the presence of God in your walk, that timetable is immutable.
Amen.
The prophet says the gears of God's great economy, they move slowly, but very sure Jesus will be here exactly on time. If we're looking on the calendar, we say, but we thought he was coming in the year 2000, and people want to set dates on the calendar. It's the most foolish thing you can do. That's a human invention, the calendar. He's coming just in time. He'll be here at the right time. And when he comes, we'll all say, amen. That was the perfect time for him to come. The same as when he works inside of your life and mine. When the appointed time comes, God didn't work according to the calendar with Joseph in prison. He said to that butler, he said, "Please don't forget me now. You're going to be promoted back to your old position again. I did nothing wrong. I was sold. Please speak to Pharaoh." The man went and forgot. That seemed like a sad thing to think about because Joseph's looking at the calendar. That 2 years wasn't an easy thing, but God's timetable was perfect. Yeah, God knew how to bring everything together. What good was it going to do, like we say, for Joseph to come out of prison 2 years before? Pharaoh didn't need a Joseph. Pharaoh hadn't had any dreams. There was no need. God had to get the conditions right, and then just at the perfect time, according to his timetable, pa. Pharaoh has a dream. The butler remembers Joseph, and Joseph is presented before Pharaoh. And he wakes up in the prison and he sleeps in the palace. That's how quick it is. You know, that's how quick God is in his timetable. In the book of Habakkuk there, it speaks about though the vision tarry, it says, in the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, that means to linger. That means to delay. It's not saying that the vision delays. It delays in our dimension, it seems. It seems to us, hey, this is lingering. This is delay. This has gone beyond the norm. You know, if ever it's going to happen, it should have happened by now. That's when we feel the pressure. That's why I'd say, though the vision tarry, it appears to tarry to us. It's gone beyond the norms. It's gone beyond the normal barriers. You know, it's not operating within our normal way of operating in this world. It says, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So it says, it will not cause one to delay. It will not keep you back. Now, this is how God works. God normally delays the beginning of things, yeah? Or he delays the fulfilling of a promise inside of your life. But when the promise comes, now it's like a short work. I think of Brother Vlad, Sister Lydia. The Lord delayed how many years them not having children?
That's right.
But when they started having children, now they've got so many children, they've gone ahead of everybody with children. That's the way the Lord does it. It's like he does a quick work. When he comes on the scene, you look and see your colleagues from work, your colleagues from home, your relatives. It seems they've gone far ahead of you because God's timetable doesn't work according to their timetable. And they're going well ahead in their timetable. Yeah. Joseph's brothers getting married, having children, building their homes, and all that. And here's Joseph sitting in a prison. But as soon as Joseph came out of there, he went far ahead of them. Can you see the way the kingdom of God works? That's a when he comes and his timetable starts to operate, God's timetable it works at a different speed than the natural timetable as well. I remember Lonnie Jenkins saying that once. He said, "You find people come into the message, maybe ministers or somebody's called to the ministry." He says, "It doesn't take long for the Lord to quicken the revelation in those people, and they quickly catch up with everybody else." Now, that's how it was. Somebody might start ahead of you, but phew, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. That's the principle of the faith timetable. It doesn't work according to our natural laws at all. Now, that's why faith just needs, what does faith need? It needs an anchor to the soul. You just need that something that's anchored in the rock, something that keeps you. Though the storms toss you, it doesn't move you from where you are. Your mind might want to confuse you, but deep inside of your soul, there's an anchor there. You know that he who has called you is faithful, that he who has begun the good work, according to his timetable, he never finishes. He never fails to finish what he's begun. When he starts a masterpiece, he finishes his masterpiece. He doesn't forget in the middle. The world can fail. How many people start well and end up making shipwreck? You know, they seem they were far ahead of you, and where are they at the end? It's not him who starts the race, it's him who finishes the race that counts. Remember Aesop's fable of the hare and the tortoise? Yeah, and the hare thought, ha-ha, and he's so far ahead that he fell asleep. And the tortoise just kept his feet going and he won the race. That's the principle of faith's timetable. You'll never be disappointed trusting in God's timetable. You'll never. But this world wants to pressure us, well-meaning people, society, family, friends, want to pressure you. I remember one brother telling me when I already turned 30 something, saying, if you're going to ever get married, you better be quick. You better get going. See, I mean, but says who? You know in yourself, once you start listening to those voices, you're going to make the same mistake as Sarah. You're going to start manufacturing the answer to the need that you have. The prophet says they should have waited for God's creative solution. God will create his own solution. And if you tell me, what do you think is anybody ever happier in life with a child than Abraham and Sarah when Isaac came? That's why they called him laughter, Isaac. He brought such joy to them. They rejoiced in that. God has his timetable. I saw it like Brother James knows my brother. My brother's a very nice guy. He's 2 years older than me. But he had his children years back. They've grown up out of the house now. He's got a big house, just him and his wife. Yeah. And you become an empty nester. I'm so glad God gave me a different timetable. I had my children later in life, but you rejoice with your children in your home. Yeah. I'd far prefer this timetable than that. But that wasn't the norm. That's the way normally things are done. But hey, God knows better than us. He knows the correct kind of timetable for us to follow. That's why it says she was past age. She was past the norm. Yeah. She wasn't, her life and the way things were working inside of her life wasn't working at the same pace, same rate, according to the same system as all the other people around and about in society at that time. That puts pressure. That's how you got to have an anchor in the soul. That's how you got to have an assurance, faith being a substance. You've got to have a sixth sense. You've got to have something that anchors you into that dimension when there's no time. Because whenever you're getting up in the morning and you're looking in the mirror, there's going to come some pressure. You're starting to see, look at the calendar. Oh, it's another new year. We're into another year. Hey, me, this year, I'm 35. That means nothing to God. There's so many people who are called by God. Moses was called at the age, sorry, he was 80 years old. At the burning bush. He was 40 when he went out of Egypt. 80 years old when God called him. My brother-in-law, we used to speak to him about the Lord, and then my sister passed away. My brother-in-law remarried, went to Australia. During COVID, he contacted me and he sent me a copy of his baptism certificate. He had given his heart to the Lord. So we tuned in one day to their church service across there. And then one day, not long back, he got a hold of me. He calls me Anz. He says, Anz, I just wish I'd have listened to you earlier. I wonder if I'd have listened to you earlier, what difference it would have made in my life. Because he's getting divorced again. Things haven't worked well. So I said to him, I said, Rick, God called Moses when he was 80, and that was the right time. Doesn't mean when God calls him later, he knows what he's doing. Because that's his timetable. He knows the best timetable for your life. He knows how to get things correct. He can call you the prophet. He can train you for 80 years to do 30 minutes work in your life. And it'll still be worth it because that'll be the most glorious 30 minutes. And then you'll go to an eternal reward. That's how his timetable works. But there's such a pressure in this age, and the pressure of social media, the pressure of Hollywood, and all of these norms, so-called, which they're putting out there. Of how people should look and how they should dress. And that's how people are fat shaming each other and all this kind of stuff, because that's the norm. You've got to be skinny like a twig, to be normal in society now. I don't think many of those people in the Bible were skinny. Fatness was a blessing in the Bible. The fat people were the prosperous ones, the skinny ones. Hey, what's wrong with you? God's not blessing you inside of your life. That's how it was in Bible time. But the norms have changed now. Now a person feels, oh boy, I'm putting on a little bit of weight. I got to be careful. Who cares what people say? Because the real you inside of you is weightless anyhow. It's just a body that you're dwelling in this life. But these norms are very, very powerful things to overcome. And that's how with sight and time, the human calendar, the norms of the natural calendar, those are the ones that test our faith. When God's calendar now pushes beyond the natural calendar, that's a test of faith. That really becomes the test now. And that's now what Satan wants. I was reading today that if you see the picture and the message of that Eskimo Indian, Sister Louise, what was her name? Novorodsky. And she's the one on the horse, and you see Balaram standing by her. If you listen to her testimony, it's very powerful because she was feeling such pressure living on the reservation among the American Indians there where she was living, because she wanted to get married to a certain boy and she wanted to move to the city because that's what people did. That was the norm. Yeah. If you're a young girl, you don't stay on the reservation. What are you staying on the reservation for? That's not normal. But that was the program God had for her life. And the prophet told her, and she said, I'm already thinking of leaving. And the prophet told her, don't do that, Louise. You stay here. Your parents are old. You stay and look after your parents. And you forget about that young man, and God will give you the right husband. And that's exactly what happened. But it's like it's a step out in faith because you've got to forsake the norm and the so-called seasonable opportunity, because you're looking and saying, hey, this guy, if I let him go, when am I ever going to get another chance again? So you'd rather hold on to that something you can see, that tangible something that's operating within the normal human timetable, because it takes faith to believe, let this one go, put Moses in the river, and then I'm going to get him back again. That's by faith. You have to do that. But sight and time will be telling you, this is the most foolish thing you ever did. God gave you the child. Now you're putting him into death. The very place they're throwing all of the men children to perish, the boys, you're putting him into the mouth of death. But that was God's way of doing things. And then they received him back with a blessing because Jochebed got him back and was paid now to raise him and had all the protection of the king around the house. And it always works like that. If you'll trust God in his timetable, God will quicken you ahead of your peers. The end of you will be better than them. Yes. Then you look at, I look at Brother George. Brother George has no qualifications. But God gave him jobs far ahead of his qualifications because he judged God faithful. And if you judge God faithful, he proves himself faithful. He will never let you down. No person had ever trusted in the Lord was ever disappointed when the promise came. The scripture says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. It's so nice waiting. But when the promise is fulfilled, it's like a tree of life. It's such a blessing. You forget all of the period of waiting before. Because when God has the mystery of your life, you don't understand when he's going to open that next part, that seal now to break it on that particular aspect of your life. So you're waiting. Yeah. It's still sealed to you. But in his due season, when his timetable turns and clicks, the cog hits that, in the watch when the little hands go together and it hits 12 o'clock. When that hits, when you've been waiting for the Lord, and that seal is broken, and God unveils that mystery. Hallelujah. You will see he always had it under control.
Amen.
I remember that happened when we got married. I was saying it to someone the other day. I was saying, I remember driving to the airport just when we got engaged. I was going to go and fly to Brother Oliver's church. I was still single. We were just going to get married a few months' time. It was such a beautiful spring morning. I was driving to the international airport from Belfast. And inside of my soul, I was so much worshiping the Lord. I said, Lord, you always had it under control. Why did I need to worry? Why did I need to listen to the pressure that people are trying to set you up on blind dates? And people are trying to, like I said, you'd go to a wedding and people put you sitting between two sisters and stuff like that. You can see they're well-meaning people and they're looking at you and they're saying, you're not operating according to the normal timetable. Let me give you a hand. That's exactly what Sarah did. And that's what puts the pressure on us. God doesn't put the pressure on us. The word doesn't put the pressure on us. The word, in fact, will quicken us and make us immune to the pressure if we'll allow it to. But society, sight and time, the calendar, those are the things, the mirror, they put the pressure on us now because we start to think that, like Sarah, I'm past age. The opportune time, that the fertile time, the fertile season, if ever it was going to happen, it was back there. But God is saying, trust me. Yeah, trust me. Just trust me and see what's going to happen. And then you end up with your Isaac. Yeah, your child of promise. Or like Rachel. Yeah, when she stopped complaining after a while, because at first she used to complain a lot because she was barren. She used to come to her husband and say, "Give me children or I'll die." And he said, "Who am I? I'm not God. You go and speak to God about children." And then finally, when she broke into that dimension and she had, what was her son? Joseph. God gave her something beyond. And Sarah as well. Look, she receives an Isaac. What about Elizabeth and Zechariah? God had a totally different timetable. They were just and righteous. But in the norms of society, if you didn't have a child in that period of time, that you got sin in your life or there's something wrong with you, God's not happy with you. That was not the case. The case is that God had an extra blessing. And when now they were faithful and God's timetable was fulfilled, they received not only a son, they received a prophet. Jesus says, of men born of woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Can you see when his timetable, you trust in his timetable, when his timetable hits midnight, and the promise comes, it far exceeds your expectations. Because he gives you pressed down, running over, shaken together. He doesn't just, you've given him your trust, he gives you now the promise. And it's always far greater than your expectation. None of us have ever been disappointed by a promise of God.
Amen.
Have you? When God sent us a prophet, were we ever disappointed?
No.
When God sent us a message, are you disappointed with the message? It far exceeds your expectation. What about when God sent us Jesus? Yeah.
Hallelujah.
At the appointed time, in the fullness of time, the people said, "Oh, he's delaying. When is the Messiah coming? For how many years?" But God had his timetable, and he came just in time, perfectly, as he had said that he was going to come. So we need to trust him beyond the norm.
Yes.
That's what it is. We don't need our lives to be governed by the norms, because believers are not normal. Faith is not normal. The sixth sense is a super sense. It's not just a normal sense. It's a super sense. That's what it is. It governs you in that kind of a way. So, faith, open Ecclesiastes 3, just a reminder, friends, about due season. Faith always has its due season. Faith always has the time of the promise. We sing the song, or we listen to the song, in his time. He makes all things beautiful in his time. That's his timetable. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything, there is a season. To everything, there's a season. That means an appointed occasion. So, to marriage in your life, there is an appointed occasion, an appointed season. There's God's time when the promise draws near. There's God's due time. There's God's due season for everything inside of our lives. You never met Christ 1 second too late or 1 second too early. You were redeemed, saved at the appointed time. It was exactly the right time. There might have been a lot of preparation building up to it, but it was exactly the appointed time. It was your time of visitation. It was exactly the opportune, spiritual, fertile time. And other people might have looked and said, "But wow, hey, he's 50-something years old. He hasn't given his heart to the Lord. If he's ever going to do something for the Lord, he better start doing it now." That's the way we look at it. But that's not the way that the Lord looks at it. No. You go and have a look at Enoch. How long did Enoch walk with the Lord? I think it was it 300 years? That means he didn't walk with the Lord for the first 65. Yeah. Maybe he was 65 when he got saved, when he met the Lord. When he's 50, some people are saying, this guy, no hope for him. Yet he's going to live such a life in those 300 years. He's a type of the bride. He was raptured. The first person in the Bible to be translated was Enoch. But it started maybe after 65 years. God doesn't work according to our timetable. To everything, there's a season and a time. To every purpose under the heaven. There's a time. Now, if you're a believer, who governs that time? Do you govern that time? Do your relatives govern that time? Does society govern that time? There's one who governs that time, which is the same one who purchased you with his blood. The same one who God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. Will he not, the Bible says, freely then give you all things? And so if you're ready before you were born, at the appointed time, he provided Christ to die for you, to every purpose in your life. You need friends? God has friends for you. Yeah? He does. And the best friends you can ever have are the friends God gives you. You will never be disappointed with God-given friends.
Amen.
The best friend David could have was Jonathan, because that was a God-given friend. We don't need Job's comforters. We don't need that kind of friend. I don't know where Job got those friends from. I think he must have hung around in the wrong place for a while. He went to the wrong church for a while. But when God gives you a friend, that is a friend indeed. That is the friend who is born for your time of adversity. That's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, because Jesus is the perfect friend. That's what it says. God has friends born for your time of adversity, born to pick you up when you can't keep going, born to give you heat when you are cold. That's what it says in the scripture. God puts people, appoints people inside of your life. And in the due season, at the right time, you meet those people. And you say, wow, Brother James, hey, this is my friend, Brother Oliver. You're going to have a look inside of your life at your friends. And they're time-tested friendships, because they didn't originate according to the human will. It wasn't your will. You weren't using psychology. You weren't trying to influence people to be your friends. It was something that God appointed. It was in the mystery of your life. It was under a seal. And God broke the seal at the right time. And then the names under the seal got unveiled. They said, oh, hey, God wants me to be a friend. Remember, the prophet was told when he went to South Africa, he went to Sidney Jackson. And he said, Sidney, Brother Jackson, God told me to come and speak to you because we're going to be real friends. God told me we're going to be friends. Is that not wonderful? Those are the kind of friends that you want, and we do appreciate those friends.
Amen.
Now, it's never been said in the kingdom of God that it's too late. Yeah, concerning the children of God, it's never too late.
No.
That's a human word. That's not an appropriate word for a believer. Ah, it's too late. If ever I get married, I would have got married before. It's too late now. Ah, I've been sick for a long time. It's too late now. If ever I was going to, it doesn't work. Because you normally find that it's too late period is God's timetable. You find that when you're saying it's too late, then that's God's timetable. Or people say, it's gone too far. Or someone say, you should have come earlier. That's human terminology. That's totally you. And those are sincere people, and they, like the prophets, they're using the instruments and they're measuring this, that, and the other. But it's human terminology. Faith isn't hindered by age. It's not hindered by menopause. It's not hindered by anything like that. Faith is independent of all of those circumstances. Because the faith dimension, which is the kingdom of God in you, operates outside of time. There's no time in the kingdom of God. It's an eternal kingdom. It's not governed by time. It's not intimidated by time. It doesn't focus on time. Time is not important in the kingdom of God. But it's your sight, your senses, they focus on the calendar. They focus on the mirror. And that's where the mistake starts coming in, because now we are feeling the wrong aspect now. Now we're starting to say, but oh my, I'm not living according to the norms. I'm glad not to live according to the norms these
Amen.
days. And you don't want to. Does anybody know where this one comes from? Poor old fellow. It's when the prophet went to Mishawaka, and all the young ministers were coming to preach, and then they built up to the main service, remember? And the prophet says, here came that old preacher. In Life Story, it says many of the young ministers were preaching that day. But when they brought a minister out that night to preach, a colored brother, he was real old. He had just a little rim of white hair around the back of his head. Great long old preacher's coat on. Poor old fellow came out walking like this. He came out. And he got there, first time I'd ever seen a microphone, and he started to speak. He says, the old fellow, I felt so sorry for him. I wanted to go up and hold his arms to keep him from falling while he was preaching. He was so old. And I thought, why don't they put some of them young fellows to preach? You see, sight and time can be a deceiving thing. He says, but he went back yonder and brought Christ across the skies, down the horizontal rainbow in the second coming. By the time he got there, that old man hollered, whoopee, jumped up, clicked his heels together, tipping off the platform, saying, you haven't got enough room for me to preach here. The prophet says, I looked at that and I thought, brother, if that Holy Ghost will make an old man act like that, what will it do for me? You see, he had a fresh infusion of something that is timeless. Something that, because we sing, never grow old. You see, he had a fresh baptism from a kingdom where people never grow old. The prophet says, I walked off the platform, you know, saying, my. I thought, he's been to a fountain of youth somewhere. I thought, I want that. That's how you keep your faith fresh. You keep going and drinking from the fountain of youth. You keep coming to I, the great I am. And then you don't worry about what was or what is to come, because when you're in his presence, the only thing that matters is I am. You've got a substance and you leave the rest up to him. As long as he's in the program, faith is satisfied. As long as you know he's leading, you're going to end up in the right time. You just need the prophet says, the Lord came down and said, I am God Almighty. I'm El Shaddai. You're saying, why did he say that to Abraham? Because Abraham was waiting for the promise. And the Lord says, Abraham, come and nurse strength from me and be satisfied while you're waiting for the promise. He says, faith waits patiently for the promise.
Amen.
Faith is patient. It knows, though it seems to me to be tarrying, but it won't lie. It won't tarry. It won't delay anything of God's program inside of my life. When it comes, it'll be just in time. When it comes, it'll be the right time. And it'll be such a blessing to me that all of the former years have passed away, and behold, all things will become new. That's how it is when the Lord comes with his visitation. And Sarah and Abraham drank from that fountain of youth. Yeah. And that's how they conceived. She conceived, and they brought forth beyond the human timetable because they were drinking from that fountain. What about Mary, Martha, and Faith's timetable? 4 days late, but just in time. That's what we're seeing this. It's absolutely the truth. Can you see their timetable was the norms? If that man really loved you, he would have come long time ago. Why didn't he come and pray for your brother when he was sick? But faith's timetable, God's timetable was, I know the right time. 4 days late, 4 days in the grave. But the blessing that came from that when God's appointed time came. Because they'd been standing for Christ all that time before, having him in the house, bearing his reproach. Anybody that claimed that he was the Christ, you were put out of the synagogue, it says in the Bible. You weren't allowed to fellowship. You were not following the accepted norms, and they were bearing the reproach. And the Lord said, it's okay. Because when I get there, it's going to reverse everything. And it's going to more than reverse it, it's going to take it into a double blessing. And when they all came, all those critics and all the crowds came and followed and said, ah, hey, that guy is coming to town. You see, he waited until the man was dead, then he came into town. Then Jesus said, where have you laid him? And he took him, then he says, Lazarus, come forth. And that man, 4 days gone. Remember Brother George Martin showing the Jews believed when the soul left the body, it stayed around for 3 days. That's why Jesus waited the fourth day. Because the Jews knew that soul is gone. There's no way for that soul to come back again. And on the fourth day, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, what a testimony. That put to shame every critic. It shut the mouth of every single critic. It embarrassed those people who thought these people were being embarrassed. It was the witness. It was God saying amen to their faith. It was God bearing witness of them. But that's why God's timetable works at that kind of a time. Because you get the most blessing and benefit and virtue when you operate according to his timetable. Let him bring forth that manifestation. What about the prophet when he went up in the mountain, the Colorado storm? This is what he told the brothers. He says, brothers, when the first, because it had been forecast, the blizzard moving in, everybody could see it coming on the, on the weather radar. Those weather prophets, they're saying, hey, there's a big storm coming. Huge blizzard, going to dump lots of feet of snow. The prophet told the brothers, now, the first drop of rain starts to fall, first sleet, anything, take for the camp as hard as you can, because within 15 minutes, you can't see your hand. Because that's the pressure of the clock now. You know that I've only got a little opportune moment here, 15 minutes, otherwise I won't be able to even find my way back to the camp and I'll perish in the blizzard. So imagine the pressure that's on there, the time constraint that you're under. It says, and I started going down and something said to me when it started out to sleet, and the prophet waited for the brothers to go, then he came down last. The voice said just as plain, stop and go back. That's when sight and time is your enemy, because you're looking at that cloud rolling and you're looking at that storm. You're looking at your watch. If I don't get out of here in the next few minutes, the opportunities are going to pass me by and I'm never going to have the opportunity again. And then the Lord says, I want you to trust me. I started to move on. Something said, go back where you came from. The mountain. He says, go back through that storm, a half a mile and more back up the mountain into that dark timber where you could hardly see as far as the organ. He says, I'm getting to be an old man. I've been a Christian now 33 years, and I know no matter how ridiculous it seems, yes, mind the Lord, do what the Lord says.
Amen.
And that's when the testimony came. That's when the voice said, speak. And he spoke, and the storm disappeared. And they went down to the petrol station. And the prophet says to the owner, it's awfully dry. He said, it's strange. They were forecasting rain. It came in the snow, and it came, and all of a sudden it disappeared. Can you see God's time? His timing is the right kind of a timing. The prophet speaks of the three miracles before breakfast, just showing the perfection of the heavenly timetable. When he wants to go for breakfast, and then the angel of the Lord leads him and says, takes him down, he goes to Miller's cafeteria. And he goes down into the basement, gets his prunes, goes and sits down, and there's that woman and her brother sitting there, and he just hears the prophet, someone saying, praise the Lord. And his heart was breaking through his diaphragm. They had tried according to the human timetable. They knew the meetings go from this date to this. The time is from this to this. If you don't get a prayer card within those times, you don't get prayed for. That was the norm. But God had a different timetable. And then she says, I prayed all night last night and I fell asleep by the bed. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go to Miller's cafeteria. What? At 9 o'clock in the morning. That's how perfect his timetable is.
Oh, Jesus.
And exactly, perhaps I looked at my watch, it was 9 o'clock. He said, I prayed for that man. The man said, praise the Lord. I haven't felt like this since I was a young man. Since I left, the Spirit came upon me again, gave my baby to the wife. Said, you go back to the hotel because he still wants me to do something. We went up the stairs, went outside. As he got outside of there, a woman starts beating her chest. She says, praise the Lord. I says, what is it, sister? Said, yeah, I would try to get in your meeting. I came from Canada. I spent all my money. Said, last night, I didn't even have enough money. I had to sleep in the hotel lobby in a chair. Said, all I had this morning was enough money, 20 cents to buy myself a coffee. I'm now going up to hitchhike back to Canada. Imagine, according to the norms, all the opportunity had passed her, but she couldn't get a prayer card. She couldn't get prayed for. She said, and then I was praying last night and I slept, and something told me, go and wait outside Miller's cafeteria at 10 past 9 tomorrow morning. That's God's timetable. Yeah. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. It'll tarry according to the human norms, but it will not lie. It won't tarry. It won't hold you back. It won't hinder the program of God in your life in any way. It'll actually fulfill the program of God inside of your life. The final one. What about Memphis? When the prophet went to Memphis, just to show human, the airline had their program. We come in to pick you in the morning at 8 o'clock, airplanes leaving at 9 o'clock. That's the human timetable. So normally what you will do, you go to the airport before the flight.
Yeah.
But God's timetable there was, doesn't matter, you go to the airport after the time of the flight. That's what the Lord made the prophet to do. He says, a storm came up. Now, the interesting thing about this, if you really look at this story, it's very powerful in one concept, one factor, is that we know about the storm. When the prophet's flying and wanting to go home, the storm comes up, they have to land in Memphis. But you know, when that storm came and the prophet landed that day, that boy had already been unconscious for 2 days. And you'll say, but hey, if ever there was going to be an opportunity for someone to accept the Lord, because that's all that Aunt Jemima wanted was, if only I could hear him say that he's saved. But look at God's timetable. You would think the storm would come while the boy is still conscious, so the prophet can come down and lead the man to the Lord. But God's timetable goes beyond all the norms. He allows the boy to go unconscious. Then God says, okay, let the storm come now. The prophet comes down, gets up in the morning, going to go and post his letters. The angel says, keep walking. And what does the prophet do? He's a man. He looks at his watch. I'm going to miss my flight. It's 8 o'clock. This is not according to the norm. And normally now is the time you need to get to an airport to catch a flight. He says, I felt the angel of the Lord come near. That's why I'm saying faith is only interested in one thing. Is Christ in the program?
Amen.
If Christ is in the program, you are in the right timetable. That's the perfect timetable. You just follow him and you're going to see how the timetable unfolds itself. He says, I felt the angel of the Lord come near and I got up back among some big pillars then. I said, Heavenly Father, what would you have your servant do? And he said, turn and go back and just keep going. See, faith doesn't ask where. It doesn't matter where. As long as he's leading you to the right place. At the appointed time, he'll show you where. Faith just wants to know, is he the one who's leading? Because he knows the way that I take. I turned, went down the street, walked on for 3 or 4 miles. 8 o'clock came, 9 o'clock came. How did he know that? He's a man, sight and time. He's looking, sheesh, woo-hoo. Eight, maybe I can just get there in time. 8:30. This is cutting it tight. 9 o'clock. I better start searching on booking.com for an alternate flight. You know, the strato, you're thinking like you're going to think like that as a person. He says, oh my, the plane's gone. But I just kept on walking. And after a while, I was down in the color district. Then he meets that lady. Then he finally gets up to her. She said, the doctors can't do nothing for him. He's been unconscious now for 2 days. The doctors gave him all kinds of shots. Nothing will stop it. The Lord this morning about 4 o'clock told me to go out. I would see a man with a brown suit on. A small man with dark hair would come down the street. That would be the parson. I've been standing here ever since that time. She was standing outside the house. And then the prophet came down according to the vision. The prophet says, so I knelt down, laid my hands on the boy's feet. I said, I'll pray now. Auntie Shea just prayed. I said, Heavenly Father, here it is after 9 o'clock. The plane's done, gone. I said, I don't know. You told me to come down here, and the only thing I knew to do was to walk. That's faith. So when things seem to be delaying in your life, maybe children are taking long to come, like marriage is taking long to come. You know what you just need to do? You just keep walking. You just keep walking with him. As long as he's in the program, there's something good coming down the line.
Amen.
Others might be seeming to go ahead of you, and they seem to be a self. But wait, when the vision kicks in, you're going to overtake those people.
Right.
It's the principle of the kingdom of God. It always works like that. He says, and in about 5 minutes from then, he was sitting up in the bed talking to us. And I ran out, called a cab, got back to the hotel, you know what, rushed to the airport. And the plane was just making its first call. You see the timetable. Yeah. You actually leave for the airport after the plane is due to leave, and you get there and it's making its first call. That's God's timetable. God, for that poor, illiterate, colored woman, grounded that plane, left it, and held it there until her prayer was answered. Do you think God's not going to hold things for you? If it looks like you're going to miss the promise, God can hold things back as well until you meet up at the appointed time. Because to everything under heaven, there's an appointed time. To every purpose, God has appointed in the mystery of your life that you're going to have to meet that person at that time in that place. And even if you're going to miss it, God knows how to hold things back and get things back on time. Because that's what he does. That's what Hebrews says. Through faith, also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. And I say, saints, let's just do that. Let's judge him faithful
Hallelujah.
who has promised and will never be disappointed. Let's stand.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. If you have a need before the Lord, a desire, why not just raise your hand? Let's judge him faithful tonight. Though the symptoms may have lingered, though the promise may seem to tarry, but let's judge him faithful tonight to his promise. Father, we do thank you that you are faithful, Lord. We thank you that you've never failed us yet. Father, many times it seemed the opportunity had passed us by. Many times it seemed there was going to be a disappointment. But Jesus, you've never let us down. And your promise has always been to us a tree of life. So we thank you for that, Lord. We bring our needs before you tonight. We think of Sister Arantxa. We think of her mum. Father, we bring it unto thee. Father, we know that, Lord, according to human timetable, sometimes it seems it took too long or the opportunity has passed by. But Father, we're asking of you to be glorified and to minister of your grace in that situation. And Father, may you minister to the needs of your people. Bless your people this night, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's sing hymn number 23. It's E flat. My faith looks out thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, O Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my sin away. Oh, let me from this day be holy. May I reach grace in power, strength to my fainting. Oh, my zeal is found. It now has died for me. Oh, may my love to thee pure measure less be fairly.
While life's dark maze I pray in grief around me spread, be thou my God, be darkness tame today. While sorrow stays away, no let me ever stray from thee. Psalm
25. Oh, to Jesus I surrender, oh, to Him I freely. Oh, yes, I will lay my life and trust in Him. His presence daily. Oh,
I surrender. Oh, yes, I surrender. Oh, to be my blessed Savior, I surrender. Oh, yes, all to Jesus, I surrender humbly. Be time. For years will be pleasures, all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me. For I surrender. Oh, yes, I surrender. Oh, to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Oh, yes, oh. To Jesus, I surrender. May we sing your holy, holy, we feel the Holy Spirit truly know that. Thou art mine. Oh, yes, I surrender. Oh, I surrender. All to thee, my blessed surrender. Oh, yes, oh, to Jesus, I surrender, Lord. I give myself to thee. Oh, yes, fill me with thy love and power. thy blessing, O Lord. Surrender, O my Lord, now I surrender, oh, to be my blessed Savior, I surrender. Oh, yes, all to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of salvation, glory, glory to his name. Oh, yes, I surrender, oh, my Lord, now I surrender, oh, all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Bless you, saints. Thank you.
She really, oh, actually, I need this blood count. I don't know.